There are shows with psychics.
And there are shows with doctors.
But there's no show like The Psychic and the Doc.
Your practical paranormal power unleashed.
This show synthesizes the talents of world-class medium Mark Anthony, the psychic lawyer, psychic explorer,
and street smart spiritualist, behavioral psychologist, Dr. Pat Basile. All subjects are on the table and no topic is taboo. Inspiration, insight,
action, and fun as Mark Anthony connects callers with loved ones in spirit.
In tandem with Dr. Pat's fresh, no-nonsense, street-smart, intuitive insights. And she is hilarious.
Extraordinary problems
require extraordinary solutions, which may come from this side
or the other side. This is The Psychic
and the Doc.
And it starts now.
It is the spring equinox, excuse me, the autumnal equinox, and we'll just fast forward through winter. So it's the autumnal equinox, a season of change, but we have a very special theme for our show tonight. It's wearing the crown, honor, dignity, and respect for self. Yeah. And clearly this was motivated by talk about the most dignified funeral service, I think, in history.
Wow.
Yeah, that was amazing. I watched pretty much all of it. And the one thing we do have to say, or one of the many things that we have to say about Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II, is she really did set the standard for honor, dignity, and respect for self. I mean, this was a woman who really led by example. And it's easy to say, well, yeah, they're rich, they're famous, they have everything handed to them too. But on the other hand, when you live under a microscope like she did, she always managed to exude class. And the thing that always came through was self-respect yeah. for self. And so that's the theme of this show. And certainly this is a call-in show, 1-800-930-2819. Dr. Pat, I see that you saw the Queen's service. What was your take on that?
You know, here's the thing. I didn't have a whole lot of time to, you know, do it, but I've been having to work from my home studio this week because there are just some calls I've had to make that require me to dig out files and a whole bunch of things here this week. And, you know, but enough of it to know we may never, this is really for me, I'm not saying absolutely, we may never, ever experience the kind of, let me just call it royalty for a minute, for lack of a better word, that has the history of a woman who stepped into a position at a young age and the entire landscape for decades and decades and decades, for wars, for famine, for, you know, a new European labor system. I mean, when was the last time that somebody asked me that on an interview the other day, said, Pat, did you know, we heard you make the statement that there may never be another one like this. Well, I'm saying there may not be. I mean, already you can tell there's not going to be because it's not. We don't have any queens in waiting at the moment. But Elizabeth the First is the other. Now, say what you want. Say what you want about the Virgin Queen. Did you know Virginia was named after her?
Really? I thought it was named after the Virgin Mary, but the Church of England. Yeah.
Yeah. No, because Virginia means virgin something. My point is this. We're not going to see this again.
No.
We're not going to see a leader such as she was. Every aspect of her. Did I love everything she did? No. Did I respect most things she did? Yes. Did I understand the position she was in? Not from experience, Mark, but my goodness, I don't know if that was me, if I could have done it quite that way. I think you
would have been more like her sister, Prince Margaret. You know, because Margaret was the one with the snappy one-liners and the joie de vivre. You know, and she thought, you know, she pushed the envelope. But you know, the thing about that, even the British were saying the last time they saw anything that came close to this was the death of Winston Churchill.
Okay.
1965. And you know, when we think of Winston Churchill, we think of World War II. Well, yeah. And he was reelected in 1950. And he was prime minister when Elizabeth became queen. So the first prime minister she dealt with was Winston Churchill. 15 prime ministers. Wow. Including all three of the female prime ministers. And the latest female prime minister she met with 2 days before she died. I mean, talk about working right up until you don't.
But you know what's sort of kind of cool when you look back, and I always think about this, is I remember the time, for those of you that are not quite this old, but I remember the time. I'm just going to say Margaret Thatcher and the Queen. Can you think in history when you had the Queen and a prime minister like Margaret Thatcher?
Yeah.
Running the place.
Yeah. Right?
And I find it so fascinating to be able to look at the history of that country and just be in awe about how the people love her and loved her. And you know, Mark, we live in a place where there are very few people, I think, that have accomplished that status. Clearly, we know them as, I mean, John F. Kennedy, right?
Yes.
Dr. King, of course. And there have been others along the way that people looked at and really mourned. But that kind of love and loyalty, I mean, I couldn't call two of our clients and two of our PR agencies because they are from the UK. And they literally took this time. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine feeling that way about a leader?
Yeah, that's what's so wonderful. And you know, as you know, and many of our listeners know, but I spent a lot of time in England. I even attended Oxford University, and I've been there a couple times since. And what is so unique? Because, you know, a lot of Americans are like, well, what do they have them for? You know, they're useless. They don't have any real power. But when I was with among the English and the British people, I was with Scots and Welsh people and Irish people, the monarch is above politics. As you see, the Queen never made comments about politics. And so what that gives the people is an ideal, a standard, someone who is the face of your country, its values, what it stands for, what it means, that isn't embroiled in the nastiness of politics. And we don't have anything like that. You can say, oh, well, we have our constitution, but it's hard to look up to a piece of paper as opposed to a person who exemplifies all of those things. And certainly I agree with you, you know, particularly the way Princess Diana's death was handled. I mean, the fact that it took the better part of a week for Buckingham Palace, meaning the Queen, to make a statement, that should have been right away. And there was talk that, oh, the monarchy is going to get abolished and all that. And they certainly have had their ups and downs. And then Prince Andrew and his scandals, and then Charles with Camilla and all that. And it also comes down to the fact that they are people. They are human beings.
Yeah.
But it's the office of the monarch, which is above politics. And it's almost a mystical and ethereal thing. And
it really is, isn't it?
Yeah. It's hard for us as Americans to understand that. But I certainly respect it.
Yeah. And, you know, today's show, and again, this is a live call-in show, and I think Jacob is, you know, getting our callers lined up. we're going to not only talk about that, but we're going to talk about this particular equinox. And this particular equinox has a different meaning for different signs. Now, every sign is going to be different, and it's not always what you think. For example, anybody that has ever looked up Virgo has this idea about Virgo, but when you read about the astrology intersection between Virgo and this equinox, you get a very, very different message. And we'll be talking about some of that today, Mark, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the equinox is fascinating for a lot of things. I know when I opened the show, I said the vernal equinox. I'll tell you why. I'm giving a presentation at the Edgar Cayce Association for Research and Enlightenment in 2 weeks at their Ancient Mysteries Conference. And I'm presenting Sacred Astrology, the Mystery of the Star of Bethlehem, and the Mystical Magi. And I've been working with the vernal equinox all day. And long story short, there's 4 points in our year. There's the autumnal equinox, which is today. The next one will be the winter solstice, which is in December, right around December 21st, solstice. Then there's the vernal, the spring equinox, right around March 21st. And then there's the summer solstice, which is in June, June 21st. But the two equinoxes, this is when day and night are of equal length, at least in the Northern Hemisphere. So there's a lot of mystical significance attached to these. And the fact that there's also an element of practicality in a pre-industrial electrical society, being aware of when the equinoxes and when the solstices, that's when people were planting, harvesting. You know, the autumnal equinox, this is like, okay, this is the time to harvest. And then the vernal equinox, that's when we plant, the summer solstice, you know. So these have had tremendous significance beyond the astrological to the practical as well.
Yeah. And, you know, it's going to be different. And we're going to talk about that. It's going to be very different because myself and Jessica and Linda, we always like to look at things from an esoteric perspective. I probably do more than, so it's probably me, then Jessica, and then Linda. But when we do take a moment, and especially I sent them all messages about this equinox and their astrology, and I said, take a look at each of these, now put them all together. It's fascinating. What I'd love to do, Mark, is why don't we take a short break, Jacob, and when we come back, we'll go right to the phones. How's that sound, Mark?
That sounds great. I'm looking forward to talking to the callers.
All right. Jacob, take us away.
I'm Mark Anthony, author of The Afterlife Frequency. But don't expect a dry treatise. This book educates, entertains, and reads like a juicy novel.
Joining us today is psychic lawyer Mark Anthony. Mark, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I don't think there's another person on the planet anywhere who shares this guy's resume.
He's been on Coast to Coast, the radio show with me for years. He's a psychic lawyer, but he's the real deal.
This book also provides hope in coping with grief, crime, murder, PTSD, and survivor's guilt. Part of being human involves contact with spirits, whether it's through a medium, during a dream, a deathbed vision, or a near-death experience. All these types of interdimensional communication occur when the energy of the human soul aligns with the afterlife frequency. The afterlife frequency teaches you my four-step raft technique. Recognize spirit contact, accept it as real, feel it without fear, and trust the message.
Hey, everybody. everybody. Welcome. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. Thank you. You're listening to The Psychic and the Doc. I am Dr. Pat Basile, but I'm here with Mark. Mark, before we go to the phones, and we're going to get over the phones, Jacob's going to bring on our amazing callers. But before we do that, how do people, one, find out where you're going to be, what you're up to, all of that?
Visit my website at afterlifefrequency.com, which is the name of my recent book, The Afterlife Frequency. You can sign up for my newsletter. You can apply for a phone reading with me, and you can find out from my calendar events all the cool stuff that's coming up. Despite COVID, we're getting back on tour, and I'll be at the Edgar Cayce Association for Research and Enlightenment, the Ancient Mysteries Conference. We've got a lot of great speakers there. I've been honored to be asked to be one of them. And you can find out about all of that at afterlifefrequency.com, plus upcoming episodes of The Psychic and the Doc.
I love it. Jacob, take it away.
Yeah, sounds good. The first caller we've got is Matt calling in from California. Hey there, Matt.
Hi there. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Matt, you there?
Hello. I'm here. Hi.
Oh, hey, cool. Hi, Matt. Hey, how can we help you? I'm going to turn you over to Mark right now.
Hey, Matt, what can I do for you?
Of course. You know, I have been feeling kind of lost in life and questioning what I have been doing and where I should be going. And I wanted to see if you guys might have any insight into that, as well as their temptations from my past that are kind of drawing me away, and whether that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Okay. You know, Dr. Pat, why don't we start with you tonight? Because I think this is more of an advice. And then if there's some spirits that want to connect, because right now no one's connecting with me.
Okay, that sounds great. And Mark, just jump in. Matt, thank you for sharing that, first of all. And let me just tell you, it was a perfect question you asked. It was a two-part question, but it's perfect. Because sometimes when we try to see, you know, what am I doing here? Am I just killing time before I die? Then what happens is we will have events from our past show up. Now, how do you make sense of them? You know, are they people? Are they places? Are there things that are going to inspire us? Or are they people, places, and things that are going to hook us to stay, how do I want to say it, lost in our past? And you're the only one that knows that. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes when we're not very clear about the long-term plan, right? The long game, my advice to people is, what can you create for yourself that carves out a week or a month at a time? Because a lot of times it just takes us to get focused on something it makes us feel good. Does that make any sense to you?
It does. You know, I have been trying to look toward different religions to try and soothe some of the anger and discontentment I feel. Mm-hmm. And I have found that useful. Yeah. So I don't know if that has any bearing upon the situation.
Oh, absolutely. 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 I will tell you this. You know, I would say for the first 40 years of my life, that's pretty much the way I lived. Anger is one way to describe it. Resentment is what carries us forward. And what I mean by that is when we carry things from our past forward, we move to a place that goes beyond anger. And believe me, there is a place that goes beyond anger. It's called resentment. There's not a greater hook to preventing us from our abundance, prosperity, and our peace than resentment. And I love that you're taking a spiritual pathway because, and you notice I said spiritual pathway because it's going to be different for all of us. When I had to face myself on this, I became a spiritual hitchhiker until I found a place I could land. that made sense. Because when Einstein said this, Matt, and Einstein said, you can't solve the problem level it was created at, he wasn't meaning, oh, you can't solve it here. Go to the gym. No, he was not saying that. What he was trying to say is you have to solve it at an esoteric level. You have to solve it at a level that pretty much guided this genius to make some of the discoveries he made. So I would encourage you to continue until you find a home that's going to help you heal, because that's what's warranted right now. You see?
Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Matt, I'm picking up on a male energy connected to you. And when I talk about levels, that means generations. And he feels like he could be on either your level, but most likely the level above yours, which would be like, you know, parent, uncle, or possibly an older friend, mentor. And what I'm getting with this gentleman is towards his physical death, I'm getting a lot of pain in all the connective tissues. And I'm feeling like pain in all my joints. Could be like a rheumatoid arthritis. But it could also be cancer, because different causes of death have a similar physical sensation. My lungs feel very heavy and almost like they're on fire. Once again, burning sensations, could be cancer. And I'm getting a lot of difficulty with him breathing prior to passing. It almost feels like that intubation, you know, where the medical people, they stick the tubes up your nose. Does that make any sense to you? Do you recognize this person? Okay. He is coming through for you, and he's talking. This is a really interesting analogy that he's showing me. What it is, I have a background in classical studies, and spirits know that, and they dig around and they find memories. And he's bringing up the story of Diogenes in ancient Athens. And Diogenes, he was a truth seeker, and he was walking around Athens in broad daylight with a lamp. And people said, "What are you looking for?" He said, "An honest man." And the reason that this spirit is connecting with me and accessing that memory is you're going through something very similar. See, you think you're lost, but what this gentleman is telling me is that you're actually on a path to find it. You're looking for honest answers. You're seeking truth. You're looking for your center. And this is also why you're seeking out different religions, because there is wisdom in all of them. There's a biblical saying that there is wisdom in the counsel of many. And what he's telling me is that no one particular religion is going to do it for you. All of them are going to do it for you. So you're essentially on quite a fascinating spiritual journey. And what you perceive as being lost is actually part of the journey. I mean, think about it. Every great discovery starts with, I don't know. And isn't I don't know being lost for an answer? Does that make sense to you, Matt?
Yeah, that's the existential crisis, right?
Yeah, it is. And you know what? It's a good thing, because what this means is that you're growing, you're developing, you're evolving. It's exactly what Dr. Pat was saying. You know, you've got to find what's going to make you feel good, what's going to make you feel happy. And this is your quest to do that.
Yeah.
So Matt, let me ask you a question. How much time a day are you spending? How much time a day are you spending immersing yourself in some form of spiritual practice? And I'm not particularly talking about yoga.
You know, I more use it as a cognitive behavioral tool to make my life more enjoyable and less driven by either negative interactions with people or things, or just in general, trying to maintain a positive mindset. So I wouldn't necessarily say I spend a lot of time practicing or worshiping.
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't use the word worship. I'm really talking, take to your word, more esoteric. But here's the thing that helped me snap out of it. Honestly, I actually didn't plan it. But if there's a way to take yourself away for a long weekend or a spiritual retreat or even a vision quest, because I'm feeling vision quest, But if there's a way for you to do that, that will create an exponential shift. And if you really want to get some shift, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I don't know if you're watching this on Facebook, but I'm going to hold this book up. I'm sorry. The cover is torn.
No. If you say it, I'm actually not watching. I'm just calling.
I want to show everybody this book, though. See this book, everybody? See the cover? Okay. This book was given to me at a time where I couldn't hear anything. And so it took me a really long time to pick it up. And honestly, I didn't know anything about these community centers or anything about the science of mind, or I didn't know anything about anything, but I was given this book, and it took me 3 years to open it. And when I opened it, what I found was exactly what I needed. It's a little teeny book. And when you go through here, they don't call them prayers. They don't call them affirmations. But what I found in this book, and even to this day, this is the book that I have to go to and I keep by my bed. And if there's something really bothering me, I go to it, I pick a page and I read it. And it's written in a way that the average person could read, and it worked for me. So find your zone with something that's going to do that for you. Something, not a lot of things, but one thing that's going to be your go-to. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you so much, guys. I appreciate it.
You bet.
Many blessings, Matt.
Yeah. Jacob, why don't we keep keep rolling, yeah?
Sounds great. Next up, we've got Katrina calling in from Indiana.
Sure. Hi, Katrina.
Hi.
Hey, how are you? How can we help you? I'm going to turn you over to my buddy Mark here.
Hey, Katrina, how can I help you?
I'm not doing too bad. I've called in a few months ago about my husband having a brain aneurysm, and I was just wondering if any of my loved ones have anything to say about that, about how everything's going for him.
Say that again. Could you repeat that? I was having a hard time.
She called in a couple of months ago and talked about her husband having a brain aneurysm.
Okay.
She wanted to know if any of her loved ones are calling in to just kind of say how it's going from their perspective, from where they sit.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Pat. Okay, Katrina, I'm getting a female energy coming through. And what I get about her is she feels like she could be connected to you actually through your dad's side of the family. Could be an aunt, could possibly be a grandmother. And what I'm getting with her is kind of a medium build. She wasn't real thin. She wasn't, you know, heavy. She was sort of a medium build. I'm getting some iciness in her feet, which are circulation issues, possibly walking issues prior to passing. And I see her with a sweater a lot. So either she was cold a lot or it could be circulation. Does any of this make sense to you?
Could it be his mother?
Oh, that could definitely be his mother. Okay, because, yeah, I'm getting a male connection to you. All right. Hold on. They keep talking about remedial therapy. Now, remedial therapy, I'm taking as remedy and therapy, is going to be very, very important to him. They're talking about this. Has this been going on for about 3 months? Because I'm getting like this 3 months and it's switching
since
now.
Since
February. Okay. What's been going on in the last 3 months?
In the last 3 months, he's been in nursing homes. I just brought him home from a nursing home 3 weeks ago, and I actually got therapy for him set up today. More therapy.
Perfect. Perfect.
And,
that's
and
what they're
memory
saying, that they're,
therapy.
Yeah. All right. Remedial therapy. Okay. This is right where you need to be. And they're telling me this is going to be a long haul, long climb, but it's going to be a good journey for both of you. And hold on. There is a significance to December, Reason being is I'm tasting peppermint and I'm seeing candy canes. That's one of my triggers for December. Now, most people like Christmas. I get it. But this could indicate a significant birth, death, anniversary, or event connected to you or so, a death. Okay. Who passed of significance in December?
Our daughter. Our daughter passed away from cancer. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then here she's coming in. Okay. Hold on. Wow, the two of you were absolute troopers. By her side, she said the two of you were like the dynamic duo. And that's exactly what she's saying, the dynamic duo. And she also is indicating that both of you have been seeing, I don't know so much about your husband right now, but particularly you've been getting a lot of signs from her. You're getting the sense that she's around and she's also giving you like the energy to be motivated and to keep pushing forward. And that's what your daughter wants you to know. She said, the one thing about my mom is she never gives up. I don't mean to laugh here, but I'm kind of getting the impression from your daughter that you would have made a really good Navy SEAL.
Yeah, I'm not one to give up on anybody or anything. I don't do anything for anyone.
Yeah, and that's the Navy SEALs motto, or one of them is never quit, never give up. And she said that's what's going to carry you through with this. Now, I know your question is, what's the outcome with your husband? I don't get that the progress is going to be real fast, but I get slow and steady wins the race. So he is going to be making some progress. Did they have to go in? The reason I'm saying this, did they have to go in and actually treat do some type of vascular surgery in his brain?
They went in again and checked and seen how everything was, and everything was fine.
Good, good. That's what they're showing me. That's what they're showing me. So that's what I'm
happened
getting.
Maybe a month ago. Yeah, about a month ago they did that. If a month ago, maybe a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, and this is very good. So everything's going well. It's going to be the therapy. Basically, it's the dietary changes. The medical treatments are over. Now it's the hard work. Certainly, a lot of it's going to fall on you, but it's also up to him. Dr. Pat, do you have anything?
No, the only thing that I get is, how do I say this? I think the thing that I want to say is, I was just reading about the astrology. Tomorrow is a very important day in astrology. Everybody's talking about today, but I want to talk about tomorrow for a minute, because tomorrow is this interesting day, which is called, and you can pronounce it different ways, they call it a Kazimi. And what that means is, this happens when a planet is 1 degree away from the sun. Like, that's a big deal. And so tomorrow is this day. Now, this is a powerful energy. But on this day, this is what the astrologers are saying. On this day, we're able to think and see clearer, giving us hope to make plans for the future. So as you go into tomorrow, find the time and space to spend tomorrow on hope and plans for the future and not on what's going on in his body.
Yep.
Does that make sense?
I see.
Okay.
Yes, it does.
It does. It is the day you have to pay attention to thoughts, conversations, intuition, and signs from the universe. It's a breakthrough on the way.
Okay.
Now that's the astrological, like, tomorrow. It's like tomorrow. It's called.
Yeah. It's been real hard. It's been real hard in my mind to move, to know that everything's going to be fine and we're going to keep moving forward. That's what it's hard.
Yeah. Yeah. And what this is telling you is to take it one step further, though. This is literally, and you can get a ton of visualization things online, but this is telling you to take it one step further. This is telling you to literally envision the perfect outcome you want to see. I mean,
so
remember that when you were a kid, Okay. So when I was a kid, I had this incredible imagination, like so much so they sent me to therapy. Mm-hmm. But I loved imagining things, right?
Mm-hmm.
See if you can find time tomorrow to imagine something different than what you've been imagining before.
Okay. I see okay. exactly what you're talking about. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. I mean, just give it a little bit tomorrow. Give it a little bit of energy tomorrow. I believe me, I know when you're doing what you're doing and caring the way you're caring, it's a 24/7 job. I had a partner,
yeah,
had a brain aneurysm, and my life stopped. Mm-hmm. And believe me, everything about it was different. And the tool that I'm giving you, and by the way, the book that I mentioned previously, I got through it because my mind 24/7 was, you got to be kidding me. Don't lift anything. So what I'm saying for you is all of that you have in your consciousness already, you don't need to repeat it in your mind again. You already know it. Try bringing something else in.
Okay.
Try bringing something else in.
All righty then.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, it has been very rough, and but nothing's never going to stop me when you love somebody as much as you do.
Exactly. And believe me, I do know it's a 24/7 job. I put my life, my career, everything on hold. There was nothing else. And I had no idea what I was getting. I mean, who you're talking to now was not this person in 2001. And I'm just saying, but that experience changed me so much. It's the reason that my life moved in this direction. I didn't plan this. This was a gift. But I was so cracked open from that experience in a way that I didn't understand, you know, so full of love. But worry does not get you the outcome you want. Well, as a matter of fact, worry has no use. You know what worry's like? It's like sugar. It's like it's like empty bleeping calories.
Yeah.
Feel me on that?
Exactly.
That's what worry is.
And that's hard not to do. I've been better about not worrying. Of course, I talk to the Lord a lot.
Oh,
He's probably
God.
Tired of hearing me.
No, never.
But I'm always
never.
Asking God to guide me and to help me through everything and to give me strength.
God doesn't get tired of us at all. Right, Mark?
Absolutely, 100%. You know, that is such a great attitude. I've said this before, and this is one of my favorite quotes from Mother Teresa. And she said that God never gives me more than I can handle. I just wish God didn't trust me so much. You know, and you think about it, because there's such a crushing burden. But that's when we do. We turn to God. We turn to our faith community. We turn to our family or friends. And, you know, you calling in here, very, very positive. Because being a caretaker is extremely difficult. There's nothing easy about it. It's draining emotionally, mentally, physically. It's harder than running a marathon because you do it all the time. But
yeah,
it's your attitude, it's your faith, and the most important thing of all is patience. Yeah. Patience is really, really
you.
Difficult.
That is it, Mark. Absolutely. Yeah, and know that
and
we're
I always think that I always say I'm an example. God puts me in this for an example and to show what I need to do, show other people what I have to do, what you got to do in life, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm going to give you something right here. I'm going to do this, Mark. You ready? Here's what let me pass this on because I don't share this very often. I don't talk about it very much. And I certainly didn't talk about it on air for 10 years. I had a mystery disease. And what they told me about what was going on in my body, this thing that was in my body, is that I could go to bed at night, and many of my friends did. I could go to bed at night and not wake up the next day. I lived with that for 10 years, but I didn't live with it for 10 years. Okay. Here's why. I want to read this to you. So remember this, you're not presenting God with the problem. Are you with me so far on that? You're not doing that.
Uh-huh.
Okay. God has no problem. Got it?
Yeah.
Okay. So these principles that help me live my life, they don't have problems. But God does know intuitively, and the principle of divine guidance. See, this is the key. This is what Mark does every time he does a reading. This is what happens. And it works automatically on acceptance. So here's what we're going to do. You have to bring your hopes and aspirations to that divine center within you. That's what I was saying about tomorrow. You have to bring those hopes into that center, right? You have to lay them down. Are you ready? You got to lay them down on the altar of faith, sister. You got to lay them down on the altar of faith, right? Because if you're right. talking to the Lord, if you're talking to God, you got to lay them down on the altar of faith. Because if you do that, you have to do it in complete confidence. I want to leave you with a message and an affirmation for tomorrow. Okay, you ready?
Okay.
All right. The Spirit, and this is for you. I'm going to use it for me, but it could be for you. The Spirit within me knows the answer to any problem which confronts me. I now turn the problem to the Spirit accepting the answer. I turn from any thought of confusion to consciousness of peace. I know that the Spirit of God is within me and the law of God is around me. And you could change God to whatever word you want. I know that the answer, not the problem, is here and now. It is within my own mind because God's Spirit universe is right where I am. In calm confidence, in perfect trust, in abiding faith, with complete peace, I let go of the problem as problem. I receive the answer's fulfillment. That came from a scribbling in this book and what I used to do when I go to bed at night. So I hope you take that with you, okay?
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
You bet. Thank you. Jacob, how come? Let's go take a little break, can we? And when we come back, we'll be back with the psychic and the doc, Mark Anthony, and I'm Dr. Pat Basile. We'll be right back.
I'm Mark Anthony, author of The Afterlife Frequency. But don't expect a dry treatise. This book educates, entertains, and reads like a juicy novel.
Joining us today is psychic lawyer Mark Anthony. Mark, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I don't think there's another person on the planet anywhere who shares this guy's resume.
He's been on Coast to Coast, the radio show with me for years. He's a psychic lawyer, but he's the real deal.
This book also provides hope in coping with grief, crime, murder, PTSD, and survivor's guilt. Part of being human involves contact with spirits, whether it's through a medium, during a dream, a deathbed vision, or a near-death experience. All these types of interdimensional communication occur when the energy of the human soul aligns with the afterlife frequency. The afterlife frequency teaches you my four-step raft technique. Recognize spirit contact, accept it as real, feel it without fear, and trust the message.
Not just talk, conversation for profound self-awareness. Stick with us. Your best life awaits on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hey, welcome back to The Psychic and the Doc. I'm Mark Anthony, the psychic, and I'm with my amazing co-host, the esteemed Dr. Pat Basile, mm-hmm. the behavioral psychologist, street smart empath, And today's program is Wearing the Crown, Honor, Dignity, and Respect of Self. And, you know, the last two callers that we had, they're both on such incredible journeys of and key to both of them is maintaining that respect for self, because they're giving so much of themselves on their quest, one in his spiritual journey and the other as a caretaker and her spiritual journey. And, you know, Dr. Pat, you know, we were talking, you said that you went into or you approached spirituality initially as a complete non-believer atheist, right?
Yeah, well, for me, I'll tell you, I wasn't quite an atheist, but I had some experiences at a very young age in life, age six, and a Catholic boarding school that really tainted my view of religion. And yet at the same time, I have had grown up with very loving perceptions of Jesus and Mary. And, you know, I really did. But that mistreatment of me at a very young age, you cannot not create resentments as you get older. Now, what complicates it worse is I was never able to walk away from that religion. And my dad tried to convert my mom and my two stepsisters. And that, I mean, it was just one thing after another until I was in my teenage years. And so is it Jesus that caused that? No. You know, it's the institutions and what we believe we have to do to gain the love, you know, to gain the love of whatever you believe in. If it's God, if it's Jesus, it doesn't matter. Allah, it doesn't matter. But when you think about it and you think about the laws of the universe and what we were talking about before.
Right.
And we believe it's benevolent, Mark, meaning it's good. We believe it's good. Then even as a young child, all of the pain and the punishment doesn't sound like a loving God, entity, universe. And as a kid, it gets confusing.
Right. But
the good news for me is I did become a spiritual hitchhiker. And you know how it happened for me? It happened being homeless on the streets of New York. And this was my first breakthrough. And I'm 17 and I'm dirty and I got no food. And this is back in the day. And there is three people on a corner with a tambourine and they are dressed in solid white, not a speck of dirt on them. And I was sat there watching them and I was a mess. And one of them asked me if I wanted to hit the tambourine. The next thing I knew, I was hitting the tambourine. And the next day I had a place to sleep and clean white clothes. But I learned about them. I learned not about their religion or what they did, but I learned about the kindness and generosity of their energy. And it wasn't the religion I grew up with. So what that did for me is it opened up the door to ask the question, is there more? And I just started to look into other things. But I will tell you, it took me a really long while to get to that place. And what did it for me was the 12-step program and my decision to go on a path of recovery. And that for me changed everything.
You know, it's very interesting when I was listening to your story and you said that, you know, these people with the white clothes and the tambourine, and this was not the religion you grew up in. And yet it was their kindness that helped guide you. Thinking of the teachings of Jesus, that bears uncanny resemblance to the parable of the Good Samaritan, because the Good Samaritan wasn't Jewish, yet came to the aid of a Jewish man who was beaten by bandits. So the people that use Jesus, Jesus, Jesus as an instrument of their political agenda, their egos, and in order to oppress people, should perhaps actually study the teachings of Jesus, which are about peace and love and understanding. Jesus did not say, hate people, cast people out who believe differently than we are. You know, and that was the response, who is my neighbor, led to the story of the Good Samaritan. And so I'm so glad that you shared that story. Also, your story is very important because When did you grow? You grew in response to adversity. So let's say that you're living in a cushy condo overlooking Central Park on Park Avenue. Really, do you think you'd suddenly have a motivation to embrace the spiritual path? No, because we grow in response to adversity, to when things are bad. If everything were wonderful all the time, there would be no incentive or motivation to grow. And this is an important thing for a lot of people to understand. When you feel alone and isolated, and that the world is overcoming you, or you're being ignored or whatever, perhaps that is a motivation to embrace your own path of spirituality.
Yeah. You know, I look back, you know, I had a really interesting experience. I was interviewed on a chapter I wrote for a book the other day. And, you know, it's fascinating to be interviewed alongside of James Redfield and just joking with James, calling him dude, telling him he hasn't aged since I interviewed him in 05. And yet at the same time, I had ultimate respect for him. But I've had a lot of angels along the way, Mark. I wish I could sit here and tell this audience and everybody listening that the all and powerful Oz, which sometimes I thought was me, just saying, got me here. It didn't. You know, every time there was a setback in my life, somebody showed along to set me up for something greater. I never thought that a girl like me from the Bronx would share an event, an indigenous native event, Lakota tribe, with Monica Sicard, and take youth through 9 months of a vision quest. Never could imagine that for me. I never thought I'd be out in the desert with my mentor who passed away suddenly. I never thought that. I never thought I'd be here with you. It wasn't in my radar, but I'll tell you what always was, Mark, and this is what I want to say to the people that called in. And I just want to say it to our last caller. I got to say it to her. I don't care what you do tomorrow. You have got to take out a time to vision something different for you. Because that helped me at times where I didn't think I had a life. I didn't think I knew what I was going to do. I didn't know how I was going to make amends to all the people in my life I hurt. I didn't know what I'd do after I lost my job after 24 years, but then I was divinely guided. And so I want to leave this for people, because if you look at the queen and you understand what we just lost here, was a person that wasn't perfect. She had her setbacks. She didn't do anything perfectly. But from her early days and her early speeches, she was always herself.
Yeah.
Always herself. And she learned from it. That's what you're talking about, Mark. And that's what the inspiration is you give to people, isn't it?
Well, I found it fascinating when you said that, you know, when you were down and out, there was always like an earth angel that came to you to help guide you on the way. And now that's you. It's interesting because you, what's that old saying? It's from a Steve Miller song. You have to go through hell before you get to heaven. So, you know, and for our listeners, that's why Dr. Pat and I did the show. Certainly, we're not perfect. We don't have all the answers, but we have insights. We have life experience that we're going to share with you, not just tonight, but every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. And we are going to be back next week. I believe we have another call-in show. Yes. I know on October 6th, we're doing a special tribute show. A good friend of ours and of the show, Wendy Cooper, she's absolutely delightful guest. And unfortunately, she fell to cancer recently. So we're going to be redoing the show in honor of Wendy. And let me tell you, she was so much fun to have on the show. And I was so privileged to have met her and spent time with her when I was in California. And that I'd like to leave everybody with honor, dignity, and respect of self. And for the people who are in your world, enjoy them, respect them, and love them, because life truly is as precious as a drop of dew on the petal of a flower.
Thank you all for tuning us in and turning us on. Jacob, thank you so much for pushing all the right buttons. And Mark, please, again, tell people how they can find out more about you and how they can get a copy of your book, if you don't mind.
Afterlifefrequency.com, just like my book, The Afterlife Frequency. Please sign up for my newsletter. You can find out about my events. And I'll be back with Dr. Pat next week. And you'll see that on my website, too. Every Thursday, the psychic and the doc are on call.
I love it. Take care, everybody. And remember what I said. Tomorrow, envision something great for yourself. We'll see you next time.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to The Psychic and the Doc with Mark Anthony and me, Dr. Pat Basile, right here on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Hey, look, come back next week so we can explore with you more of life's many challenges and learn from fascinating guests. And you know what? Even Mark and me. We'll connect you and discover insights from people in this life and from the afterlife. Extraordinary problems? Yeah, they do. They require extraordinary solutions. But step into the world of possibilities with us on The Psychic and the Doc. That's every Thursday, 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on TransformationTalkRadio.com. That's TransformationTalkRadio.com. And don't forget, we're also live face-to-face on Facebook.com, Transformation Talk Radio.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.